This is a Charles Russell Speechlees podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 5 of our retail recovery series, brought to you by Charles Russell Speechlees. My name is Freddie Law, and I'm one of the hosts of this series, and I'm a commercial lawyer with a particular focus on the food and beverage and retail sectors. As a reminder to those of our listeners who may be new to the series, the purpose of the series is to look at the critical legal issues in the sector right now. And today we're going to look at the world of real estate and adapting business premises, and giving some thought as to what retailers should be considering and planning right now in relation to this topic. And in order to do that, I've been joined by two of the firm's experts, Ingrid Saffin and Dan Murphy, and I will leave them to introduce themselves to you now.
My name is Ingrid Saffin. I am a real estate lawyer. So what's real estate? It's anything about the premises that you occupy or that you want to occupy, or indeed that you don't want to occupy anymore. So a lot of the work I do is around the landlord and tenant relationship. I advise clients in retail, F&B and leisure, and have done that for 30 plus years. So the sorts of things I advise on are transactions themselves, and also the strategy, the strategic direction from a real estate perspective of a business, giving commercial and pragmatic advice to businesses from startups to large groups. The businesses that I really like working with are entrepreneurial businesses who are building up so that we can help them navigate the need for a cost-effective delivery of their real estate needs, whilst looking after issues that would be scrutinised by an ultimate buyer of the business, or a lender if you want to raise cash. So that includes negotiating leases, works agreements, renewing leases, licences to alter, to underlet, rent deposits, guarantees, and coming to the end of sort of the life of your lease, operating breaks, surrendering leases back, restructuring, which all fits in with the strategic advice, and if it comes to it, insolvency.
I'm Dan Murphy. I'm an associate in the planning team here at Charles Russell Speechlees, and I specialise in all aspects of planning law. I have done this for a number of years and was a former town planner before I became a lawyer, so I'm quite well versed in the world of town planning and its implications, and particularly within the food and beverage and retail sectors. In terms of what we do at Charles Russell Speechlees, we cover pretty much all sectors, looking at uses of property and also looking at strategy, as Ingrid does, but from a planning perspective, and that can be from long-term use or just how to move clients from A to B to suit a particular use at that point in time.
Thanks both. So I think that gives background to sort of the type of work you do in the real estate and planning world. I think for our listeners it would be useful to know how that's relevant to the retail and F&B sectors specifically, and also why do they really need to listen to lawyers here? How can lawyers help on the type of issues that you've just described?
So from a client perspective, the issues that really we're looking at when we're dealing with F&B and retail, really, there's two concerns that really arise. Is what is normally the use of the property, and whether that use is something that one of our operational clients can use and is suitable for their purposes. So when we're looking at a matter, we're basically looking at the lawful use, what the law says it is in terms of from a planning perspective, but also what do the lease or the transfer or covenants on our property restrict or permit a use to be. And if there's a disparity between those, it's guiding the client on how best to deal with that. And from our perspective, it could be a case of having to apply for planning permission, or it could be working with the real estate team to vary a lease to make sure a permitted use is covered by the use that a client wants. And that's essentially really what our job is as a lawyer, is to help clients navigate through quite a complex system of law and policy, and the finance system really has its own political pressures and inherently legal risk. What we do is try and navigate that complexity to ensure that when clients are dealing with planning applications and kind of putting strategies together for developments, that we're helping them create robust and viable and deliverable schemes. So when they actually get to a local authority with an application, and that's being scrutinized by not only the local authority, you've got potential objectors, we want that to be in a form of an application that is really good enough to stand that scrutiny and to get that through and get the client ultimately planning permission, that little risk of legal challenge, because that's effectively what we're trying to achieve at the end of the day as lawyers. And that's really the basis of how we're trying to deal with all the issues from all sectors. And in terms of the food and beverage sector at this moment in time, we've got a few critical issues, really. I mean, we've seen from a retail perspective a continuing decline in retail space and how that's leaving town centres and shopping centres. And it's how we balance the planning system and the legal risk to ensure that that's remains a significant part of what is on the high street, and that's a concern that's going forward from the retail's perspective. But then from the F&B side, before COVID, we had a really big growth in the F&B side of it, and that was changing the market in the actual retail space, and shopping centres were looking at providing more and more space for F&B compared to retail, and that's probably something that's not going to change after we are able to deal with the current circumstances and relax a lockdown, the restrictions that are currently in place because of lockdown. So I think we'll see in a couple of months' time, when we start to emerge, that F&B and retail in a probably a more limited capacity an improvement, and that's how we'll see more of a planning aspect coming through. But at the moment, there's a bit of a stagnation in the planning side of things. And the main issues really are, how are we going to keep things ticking over and keep decisions being made?
Thanks, Dan. Just going back to how a real estate lawyer can help. The role of a real estate lawyer is to enshrine in your property documentation, your lease and whatever other documentation sits with the transaction that you're doing, all of the terms that you have agreed with your landlord, and to make sure that the documents reflect what the heads of terms you've negotiated say. And it's for us to recognise that leases are full of obligations on tenants. They've got obligations on landlords as well, but there are pages and pages and pages of obligations on tenants, and historically they've been extremely landlord friendly. There's been a movement towards a more tenant friendly form of lease over the last few years, but they're still relatively landlord friendly, and most of what's in them is to protect a landlord rather than to protect a tenant. So our role is to scrutinise those documents and make sure that you can operate your business in the way that you want to operate it, to maximise the offering that you have within the terms of the lease. And if there are some things that, you know, you're negotiating with your landlord, and some things a landlord will concede on, some things if you want those premises you may have to concede on. But if you go in with your eyes open, you can then make a judgment as to whether the financials still stack up in the light of the deal that you've negotiated. So we try to strike an appropriate balance between landlord and tenant to come out at a mutually acceptable position. You're going to have a close relationship with your landlord, of course, going forward. So it's really important that you have a good relationship with them. It is it can get very toxic if you negotiate documents and one or the other side takes too dogmatic a view. And sometimes that will tell you something about the person that you're dealing with, and maybe you would think twice about going into those premises because of the relationship going forward. So issues that are affecting clients now, well, it's pretty catastrophic out there now. You can't open for business, you don't know how or when you'll be able to open, you don't know whether customers will come back, and you need to find ways of operating, probably new ways of operating that are going to make your customers feel safe. So there's a lot of space for innovation out there, and the key words really are collaboration with your landlord, because the landlord wants a solvent tenant and a vibrant premises, vibrant shopping destination, and you want your business to do the very best it can. So it's all, at the moment, it's all about trying to manage that cash flow, and tenants have been finding different ways to do this. Leon is a fantastic example of a Darwinian business that has innovatively looked at the position that it's in and found ways to continue to operate as best it can. So it started off, of course, as a restaurant. It then moved to be just a takeaway, and then it remodeled itself to effectively a grocer's or a deli. So it was quick thinking, it was innovative thinking, and there are lots of things that sit around that hurdles that you need to get over. And again, I go back to collaboration with landlords. In leases, there are going to be restrictions on what you're allowed to do. So your lease may not enable you to put in train the ideas that you have that might take your business forward once the lockdown eases. And again, planning, there have been some developments there. Dan, would you like to jump in and talk about the relaxations and so on that there have been?
Yeah, sure. So from planning side of things, there's been quite a few changes to help businesses, particularly from F&B side of things, where they've been able to relax permitted development rights. And in particular, they've been able to basically any pubs and cafes that used to have food holding, or whether or not they had food or not, they're able to now trade as a hot food takeaway. So the government's been able to relax those rights up until next March, the end of next March. So those any kind of pubs that were pretty much operating have now stopped operating because of COVID, and now have had the ability to simply notify the local authority that they're going to be using that pub or bar or cafe as a hot food takeaway, and they can change the business if they're able to do that, and basically serve pizzas and things like that, and do what might be necessary to kind of recoup a bit of cash that they've lost as the use that they've got. If they do use that permitted development use, then they can go back to it next year, what it used to be as a pub or a cafe, without any need to apply for planning permission. So that's a really good example of one of the relaxations that has happened. There's also existing uses that can be used at this moment in time that have existed for quite a while, which are flexible use classes that can be used temporarily for up to 2 years. And that's something that can apply to the retail sector as well. So shops and things like that can change your use to other things like restaurants, but that can be on a temporary basis for 2 years. And that's something that currently exists at this moment in time. So there's a lot of regulations and a lot of ways and methods that clients can utilise at this moment in time to change the structure of the business and make it work for them to hopefully keep them alive, maybe on a different format and setting, but at least it's still there for them. I think the only takeaway from that really is what a particular lease might say on terms of use, and that goes towards what Ingrid is saying, is collaborating with your landlord to do the best that you can, really, because obviously it's for the benefit of the landlord if the tenant can stay in business through a different use. I don't know what you think about that, Ingrid.
I think you're absolutely right, Dan, and the government have come up with a number of initiatives that have been put out there to assist tenants, really, rather than landlords. For example, concessions around landlords not being able to enforce payments due under the leases. But one of the things they haven't done is looked at the way in which premises can be used from a landlord or tenant perspective. It's really encouraging to see the changes that they've brought in to planning rules. But it would be interesting if they felt that they needed to do that on the lease terms as well between landlord and tenant. It's been the direction of travel for retail and F&B for the last few years has been very much mixing up uses and being innovative about the way premises are used and what a business actually is. And the way that that innovative businesses are operating out there at the moment means that they don't neatly fall into planning classes in the way that they did when the use classes were brought into effect, and there have been a couple of changes since they were brought into effect.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to get onto there is maybe a potential reform of the use classes system, which I think has been something that has been talked about since it was introduced back in day dot, I think in the 1940s. And no one, and not one government, has seemed to be able to achieve that. And I think in the way in which the planning system and its structure is based, it's going to be really hard to kind of create a new use class structure without a total reformation of the planning system itself. And that is not something that the government's going to look at this moment in time. It doesn't have the resource or capacity to do that. But I think it's something that will be on the cards post lockdown, and once everyone's getting back to speed with things, that for the government to really have a serious consideration of. Because as you say, there's a lot of business and there's a lot of different ways in which property is used, and people are wanting to use the property and doesn't necessarily fit with what's there. And we're trying to make uses fit within a particular use that doesn't necessarily work. And that's really hard when it gets down to establishing what the lawful use of a property is and what planning permission people might actually need, and whether or not they can actually use the permitted development rights that are available and existing. It is quite a big issue that does probably need to be tackled, but I don't think it's something that can be done at this moment in time, which is a shame.
That's really interesting, Dan and Ingrid, what you're talking about there. And I guess from my perspective, what I'd be interested in your views on is for those retailers that aren't able to change their business premises or negotiating with their landlords, because I know you say that's so important to collaborate with your landlords, but and if they're not making progress with those landlords, what can they do? I mean, should they be considering exercising any break clauses? What sort of compromises and arrangements are you seeing between landlords and tenants when they're perhaps the tenants aren't able to innovate or change the purposes to try and generate revenue to survive? And what would you be telling them?
So there's a lot of talks going on between landlords and tenants at the moment, and a lot of things going on out there that didn't even actually happen back in 2008 when there was the financial crash. So things that tenants can be doing, definitely talk to your landlord. If you don't, then there might be some problems that come through if you just kind of lay low and don't pay rent. According to the FT, only 41% of retail tenants paid their rent in on the March rent day. And much as cash flow was extremely tight then, once we get to the June rent day, which is the 24th of June, things are going to be an awful lot tighter. The concessions that the government have put in place at the moment to help tenants who aren't able to pay rent, currently they last until the 30th of June. I have no doubt that they will be extended. However, they haven't been extended yet. What those concessions are is that if tenants don't pay rent, and rent includes any payment that they pay under a lease, then the landlord won't be able to sue the tenant for that rent and forfeit the lease before the 30th of June. Doesn't mean that they won't be able to do that after the 30th of June for the non-payment of rent, which is happening now. And that's why it's really important to talk to your landlord and try to arrive at a mutually acceptable outcome. So the rent will continue to accrue, interest on that unpaid rent will continue to accrue, but the landlord can't enforce payment, can't make you insolvent, and can't forfeit at the moment. Forfeit means unilaterally end the lease and effectively throw you out of the premises. But once we get to 30th June, all bets are off, and they will be able to do that again, unless there's a fresh concession or this concession is extended by the government. If you don't pay your rent, you may be breaching your own banking covenants. If you've got lending against your business, probably within your banking documentation, there are obligations on you to always pay the rent on time. So be really careful that you're not breaching those covenants. And if you're going to, or if you have, then talk to your lender and get it authorised, or at least be talking to them and try to arrive at an agreed outcome so that your funding is not going to be pulled. Landlords, of course, have their own banking covenants, and if they allow tenants to not pay the rent, then they're going to be in trouble with their own lenders. So it isn't just a two-way negotiation. There are other parties involved as well, and each of them has their own drivers, which lead them towards their ideal position. Your landlord might have his own landlord, and that landlord, again, your landlord will have to pay its rent, and if it doesn't pay its rent, it has the same problems as you do, not paying your rent. So the rent continues to accrue, interest on it, etc., etc. So it's not a simple situation, and you do need to talk to your landlord and try to agree. What I'm seeing with a lot of clients is negotiations of arrangements that are beneficial, mostly beneficial to the landlord and beneficial to the tenant. So, for example, if you're coming towards the end of the term of your lease, but you do want to stay in those premises, then we've seen tenants negotiating with landlords to take an extra term at the end of the lease in return for a rent holiday now or some sort of other rental concession to preserve their cash flow. Most retail tenants are now on monthly rents, so if you're not, then do talk to your landlord, and I would be surprised if your landlord will not agree to allow you to pay monthly rent. If you've got a break coming up, a right to unilaterally end your lease, a break right, then if you want to stay in your premises, if you're not intending to exercise your break, then you could go to your landlord and effectively sell that break back to them. So you could do a deal around there being a rental concession now in return for you giving up your right to break the lease. Some landlords, very few, but some of the big landlords are allowing a rent holiday. That is, they're not expecting to pick up the rent at all for a period of time, and rent will just resume at whatever the date you've negotiated with your landlord is. And more usually, landlords are agreeing to defer the rent. So you wouldn't have to pay it now, but the rent that is still accruing that you would have to pay now is payable incrementally over, you know, the following year or however long a period you agree with your landlord. So once you anticipate that cash flow is going to be better and you'll be in a better position to pay rent, you start paying the rent to the landlord. So there's lots of things out there that landlords and tenants are talking about. I have seen discussion around a space furlough scheme. This is not, the government hasn't allowed a space furlough scheme yet, but what they, the discussions are that a landlord will take a certain reduction in the rent, a tenant will pay a certain proportion of the rent, and the government will pay the difference between the two. So the landlord and the tenant take less of a hit than they would have done otherwise. That's being put forward by people like the British Property Federation. So watch this space. It may or may not come through, but again, it will cost the government an awful lot of money if they do put it through, and it will remain to be seen which sectors would benefit from it. But that's something that's being thought about. Something to be conscious of if you are not paying rent is that it might compromise your right to break your lease if you've got one coming up. After 2008, there were a whole raft of cases which enabled us to understand better how the courts view conditions that are set as preconditions to exercising a break. So it might be, for example, that you have to have paid all the annual rent. It might be that you've had that you've paid all the rent, meaning all the payments under the lease up to date. It might mean vacating the property. It depends what your break says. There were some break clauses, and there are still some of them out there, which require landlords to tenants rather to materially comply with the covenants in their leases. Those are really, really hard to comply with. And of course, if you haven't paid rent, then you're going to breach that condition. So they are very strictly construed. So be very careful. If you have a break and you want to exercise it, make sure you know what you have to do in order to be able to exercise it. And if you come to exercise it, if you just simply can't stay in the premises or don't want to, then make sure you serve your break notice properly. There'll be a deadline around when you have to serve the notice, and it will have to be served in compliance with the lease. And tenants are frequently caught out by both of those things. And landlords, undoubtedly, if a tenant has any money at all, a landlord is not going to be wanting to give up a tenant in the market that's coming. So do make sure that you comply with everything you need to comply with for your break.
I think from here as well, it's quite important that with everything that the government's doing and proposing, ultimately we're going to see vacancies on the high street, we're going to see shops shut and businesses go out of business, essentially. And it's going to be really difficult for particularly landlords and owners and operators of shopping centres to kind of recoup and recover from that. And so just to kind of add a planning slant on all of that, it's going to be one where we're probably going to see landlords in a difficult position and landowners in a difficult position where they've got all these shopping centres. And we were seeing it before COVID, particularly with retailers. And I think this is either going to break a few people and we're going to see a real big change in the physical retail side of things and on the high street. And it leaves landlords in thinking about how can they look forward, really. And I think that's kind of what solutions are there out there. And how can the government help and assist landlords and landowners and tenants to go back into places or create better spaces that work for the retail environment as it needs to be now. I think there's going to be quite a big shift to that kind of way of planning and how real estate works and how leases work really across the board in the future. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it makes it a really exciting time, you know, once we've sort of come to terms with the pain, but there's been a movement obviously over the last few years towards using premises differently, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities for innovative operators who are going to come in and fill some of these voids. So I think we're going to see a lot more diversity in the high street. I think in terms of rents, there will probably be more of a move towards turnover rents. There's a lot of discussion about that at the moment, because effectively it means that the landlord is sharing the risk of the business with the tenant. But traditionally, of course, rents have ratcheted up every 5 years or however frequently the rent review is, but that just hasn't really worked for landlords. The market, the rental market, goes up and up and up and then it crashes. Maybe the way forward is to find a way for landlords and tenants to kind of share the risk, but for landlords not to go from kind of pushing rents up really high to suddenly having empty premises, so having rental voids to deal with, but instead having a softer landing, but taking more of the risk with the tenants. Certainly, you know, that is the direction of travel with some landlords. Some landlords, you know, hold their hands up in horror, as they well might, you know, and say, well, I'm not a retailer, and your business is your business and mine is mine, and I take my risks and you take your risks. But I think there is some, I think we might see a bit of a change of focus, at least on the successful developments.
Yeah. I think, definitely. I think there's quite a few success stories out there where landowners and landlords and have been able to work with the tenants and the people that are coming into the spaces to kind of reimagine the spaces that are there and what retail offerings that can be provided. Because I think that's really a big focus for what the retail sector really needs, is how does it create the spaces that and experiences that will draw people into that retail environment? And not only is that a good thing for the tenant as the business operator, but it's also good for the landlord, because he gets his money at the end of the day, doesn't he? And I suppose it increases the value of his asset as a shopping centre or a high street or whatever, a building as a whole. And that will only be something that will continue to develop and work. And I suppose from a planning side of things, we've already got the system in place. We've already got a planning system. We've already got uses, and it's the framework's already there, the policies are already there, so it's not something that's new and isn't available and can't work. It's something that I think after we get through where we are now, it's something that's probably going to be quite refreshing to see on the high street. And we were talking about entrepreneurs and like entrepreneurial businesses. I think we'll start to see a shift towards that kind of like local centres and things like that, where they've got these little independent businesses. And I think it will be quite nice to see that environment coming forward in the future.
Yeah, and in many ways, there's an awful lot to be excited about for the future. Yeah. Of retail and F&B. I think this is going to have fast-forwarded a lot of the direction of travel that was already there. So, you know, green leases and much more mixed ways of occupying premises.
That's really interesting from both of you. And thanks. There's definitely some useful tips for the present and also interesting views for the future as well. We're approaching the end of the podcast now. So I think what I'd like from both of you is some top tips that you would give our listeners to take away, bearing in mind all the issues that we've just discussed. And if there's anything you'd sort of say that retailers really should be thinking about right now if they were to take away one useful piece of advice. So Ingrid, I don't know if you've got anything.
So mine, at the risk of sounding like a parrot, collaborate, collaborate, collaborate. It's a theme that runs through everything that's happening now. We, as occupiers, you want your landlord to trust you and to go forward with you as your business comes out of this period, and work together with your landlord. You know, particularly if you've got a good landlord, you don't want them to get into difficulty and end up at somebody else buying and dealing with somebody who you'd rather not have as a landlord. So that would be my top tip.
From a planning side of things, I think the top tip really is, following on from Ingrid's collaborate, is to work with the landlord and see whether there's a potential for tenants at this moment in time to be able to use the spaces for a different use temporarily. In particular with pubs, I mentioned before, the temporary change in permitted development rights to allow the use as hot food takeaways, and that might be something that tenants could look at this moment in time to get them through these difficult times.
Great. So collaborate with the landlord, I think, is definitely the takeaway point I take from that. Thanks both for your time on this podcast. It's been very interesting, very helpful, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, please do get in touch at retailrecovery@crsblaw.com. Thank you.
This is a Charles Russell Speechlease podcast.